B-Pod Studios.
The Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. He'll be back on Monday. 3 o'clock hours brought to you by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. We've been talking about the draft and the social media aspect of it last night. And overall, when it comes to sports, is social media a net positive or a net negative overall? And I say that because I was on social media during basketball season, other than Crystal Rich, who's the co-host, who more than any human being on earth, I was on a lot. And it was 90-10 negative. There are people who would only tweet when they lost. They don't tweet at all when they win. And think about if you lived your life like that. Like, you only remembered your bad days. You never remembered any of your good days. That's a pretty miserable way to exist. And too often, I think that is what social media is all about. At 4 o'clock, we'll have on Sixers GM Elton Brand. From 4 to 5 as well, in his usual spot, we'll have Brian Westbrook. Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Tyrone, Natalie, Andrew, pleasure to speak with you all this afternoon. Ty, I got to ask you something about Elton Brand before I get to Fireball in the draft.
Yes.
When you heard him say the word optionality, did you almost think, you know, I wonder how much power he really has in the organization with Brett Brown being so, you know, enthralled into it with Josh Harris and whatnot. Do you think that Elton Brand, you know, that was something that he really wanted to do, or do you think that this was more of a Brett Brown push to get Fireball?
I don't, what do you mean optionality? It's good to have optionality. I think every team has optionality.
The last time I heard that word was from a guy who had burner accounts and is no longer here. Like, I feel like the GM is
every team wants optionality.
Okay.
Both on and off the court. You want to have guys who can defend and play multiple positions. You want to have options with your roster, and they need roster space. If they're trying to run it back and they want to also add on, that means they're going to have to find veteran minimum guys. They're going to have to use their exceptions. Are they going to go over luxury tax, under luxury tax? All that optionality is all included in that. It's a complicated process when you start to spend this kind of money in the NBA because of the draconian system that they set up in which the players can't get what they're worth.
They
set up that way. So once you set it up that way, you have to follow those rules.
I hope the Sixers don't sit on their hands to the point that, you know, we lose both Tobias and Jimmy for better deals because
what are you basing on the draft? Where are you getting that from? Like, that's out of thin air. Like, where have you decided that they're going to sit on their hands when it comes to Jimmy and Tobias? Like, I'm trying to find the correlation between what they did or didn't do last night and going forward with those two guys.
I know I'm kind of basing this on commodity, but, you know, from everything that I was watching during the draft, Bol Bol was looked at as one of the, you know, guys that could be taken in the top 20.
Uh-huh.
And fell as low as he did. Like, had they stayed where they had or 24th, and possibly, yes, it was probably better that they traded up, but possibly stayed and had that other pick, and possibly being able to take a chance on a guy like, say, Bol Bol, who could possibly create his own shot. Now, I don't watch college, but from everything that
hold on, Chris. Chris, I love you, but you don't watch college. You never seen Bol Bol. He was the 44th pick. Why? Because the questions about his body, clearly. Now the onus is on him to prove people wrong. But I still don't understand the correlation. I don't think even the most negative fan thought, they sold a second-round pick. That means they're not going to try to sign Jimmy and Tobias. I don't see the correlation there. And I think that 43 teams don't think, in fact, even the team that took them, I don't think a lot of people, Miami took them, traded them to Denver. I don't think Denver expects Bol Bol to even play this first year. They expect him to sit out just like their first round pick last year. So I just don't see the correlation there at all. Like, come on, Chris, like you're my guy, but that, come on, we got to do a little better than that. Like, because they didn't take Bol Bol, they're not going to sign Tobias Harris. Okay.
I love the Bol Bol frenzy. That was pretty fun last night, though.
Yeah, that was fun. I felt bad. He lost himself a few million dollars, though, and people are going around him.
I know.
A high five. You need to give him a dollar. Don't give me a high five if I lose millions of dollars. Unless you got to give me a handshake with a dollar in it. You know how much money I lost? Preseason in the mock drafts, which know nothing. He was a top five pick. He went 44th, and that money's not even guaranteed. He can't even buy a house. When they put down salary, he puts a question mark down. Hope his credit rating's high. Can't even get, he's going to have to rent. He's going to have to, his dad, Manute's going to have to co-sign on the apartment. Nothing's guaranteed.
Poor Bobo.
And you guys are slapping me five. You better take those, you put those fives somewhere else. I'll tell you where to put those hands. Into your wallets. 20 bucks a piece for a high five. You know how much money I just lost tonight? And y'all laughing. Yeah, no. Don't support me now. How come you weren't calling your GM demanding that you pick me? I couldn't imagine losing that kind of money. I get mad if I lose $1, like in the washing machine, and it comes out of the washing machine, and that's like unusable. Yeah. I shed a tear, and that man lost millions. I'd have shed millions of tears if I was Bobo. That was terrible to watch. He lost so much money. A high five from the people in Brooklyn. You guys are living Brooklyn, some of you. That means you're rich. Where's the money? You got more money than me. Because it starts off. Like in early in the draft, all right, those guys are set for life. Like Zion, between that and that Nike deal, no. By the time you get late in the draft, there are people at the draft who make more money than players getting taken in the draft.
Yep.
As it gets late, because there's some rich folks at that draft.
Sure are.
Spike Lee was in the house. He got more money than Bobo.
Yeah, he does.
You're going to shake hands with me. Where's the money at? Lance at Arizona, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, yeah, I feel you. I lost a dollar yesterday when I was in Target, so I was super upset because I couldn't find it.
So I don't blame you, man.
But it's amazing how everyone becomes a college basketball analyst and they don't watch it all year. Like, for instance, everyone wants Carson Edwards. Carson Edwards, before the NCAA tournament, was shooting 31.4% from three. So he's going to be a shooting guard in the NBA. Meanwhile, 30 games out of this year, he was shooting 31% from three, and you're complaining about Thybulle shooting 30.5%? Like, come on.
Volume played a role in that. But I your point, I understand it.
But, like, to me, I like Thybulle. I look at the Sixers this way. The Sixers against Boston Celtics 2 years ago had issues on the perimeter playing defense. Last year, when they played against Toronto, they had to have Ben Simmons go against Kawhi Leonard a ton, and you really didn't have all that much to throw at Kawhi. Now you have Zaire, you have Thybulle, you have Simmons, you have Butler.
Well, if we're basing it on last night's logic, Zaire will never be good because if you don't do something, then the draft has to be immediate. That's the way we were acting last night.
Yeah, because we live in an impatient world that can't wait until people develop. Like last year with Scott Kingery, people hated Scott Kingery last year.
They did.
Scott Kingery is probably the best player on the team right now.
He is.
So, like, to me, I don't even worry about second-round picks. You want to go back to 2016, look at the second round. Two players are right now in the league that are doing anything. Brogdon and Patrick McCall, who's really not doing all that much. Everyone else isn't doing anything. So 6% of the second round that went that year did nothing.
You know, Lance, so you live in Arizona?
Well, yeah, I live out here now. My dad was in the Air Force, so I got moved out here.
Man.
But I get the Sixers package.
No, I wanted to give you Fan Fest tickets for this great call, but I can't give them to you because you won't be able to use them.
No, it's okay, dude. One day I'm trying to get back, so.
All right, well, let us know, Lance, and thanks for calling. See, Lance with the 6%. See how good a call
Lance,
it was from Lance?
Lance is a smart man.
Lance, that was the call of the day so far. And I couldn't even reward him. We don't have Fan Fest in Arizona.
Yeah, I've had many conversations with Lance. Lance, every time he calls in, has some sort of statistic. Yeah. Every time. He always comes prepared.
Because he can back up his argument with facts.
I mean,
big fan of Lance.
Well, and like Lance said, Ty, and a lot of the commentary last night was saying, well, how are you supposed to find the next Draymond without your second rounders? Well, how are you supposed to?
No, that's a fair point. That doesn't mean that the second rounder that they had has to stink. He's allowed to play well. It would be nice if he would. They did take a player in the second round. They also traded for future picks as well. Every year, I would have probably used one more of those second rounders. I would have used the one in the 30s instead of one in the 50s. But their valuation system is probably different. And I assume And I hope that they end up spending all that money that would have went there on another player. And I think that's how it's going to play out. And I'm going to trust the GM until he gives me a reason not to trust him. And giving the Raptors the best challenge of any team. They basically came in second place this past season. That, to me, means I should trust them until I shouldn't trust them. Kevin in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes. Good afternoon, Todd. This is Kevin.
What's up, Kevin?
My question is this. What is the seriousness of Sixers signing Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, I didn't bring it up because I don't know. I know they're going to try. This is what I know for a fact, and this is the good thing about having a GM that comes out of his basement more than once a year. And I know that Elton Brand's connections within the league and with the agents, it's much better than Henke's. And when it comes to Kawhi and the way the NBA sets up their system, it's not really about money for a lot of guys. And in fact, unless he's staying with the Raptors, it's not about money. If he's leaving Toronto, it'll be for something other than money, because Toronto can offer him the most money and will offer him the most money. I'm sure they've right. already called him and offered the most money.
Correct, because I've heard that he was a big Allen Iverson fan.
No, he was an Iverson fan, but so was a lot of players. A lot of players were Iverson fans, so I can't read too much into that. I believe they'll get the meeting. I don't know what will come of the meeting, but I believe they'll get the meeting. I don't know how realistic it is, because I can't read Kawhi. And there's a lot of people out there who would try to tell you about what they knew and what they didn't know about Kawhi. I don't know. I can't read Kawhi. I don't think anybody can read Kawhi. I think they'll have the meeting. That's what I think it is.
I heard he had a big connection with Brett Brown when he was an assistant coach at San Antonio.
He did. And that may help get the meeting as well. But right. I don't know if that means he'll come here just because you take the meeting. If you ask me what's the perfect offseason, we'll start with Kawhi and we'll go from there. But if you get Kawhi, it's a great offseason. Go ahead, Natalie.
I agree.
So actually, Chris Carter from Fox Sports 1, he actually just tweeted out 15 minutes ago, I was told today Kawhi isn't planning to meet with the Sixers.
So there it is.
I mean, he said the list.
So what you call it, from ESPN, said he was going to meet with them.
Yeah, Chris Carter saying he's not.
Now Chris Carter, I don't know who to believe.
Let me just throw this out there. I think I believe Adrian Wojnarowski, NBA insider, very, very, very successful NBA insider.
Yeah, I believe him.
Over Chris Carter.
He says, these are the teams Kawhi will have discussions with. Nets, Knicks, Lakers, Clippers, and of course Raptors. Nothing has changed from my original list, so...
Yeah, it's
up to who you believe, really.
Yeah, but as far as what's realistic, I don't know. I don't know. With Kawhi, I don't know. My focus, number one, is still run it back. If Kawhi wants to come, then forget running it back. I don't want to run it back if Kawhi will come here, because Kawhi's better than both of them. So now you put the best defender in the league with Embiid, who's the best big man defender in the league, by a lot, by the way, by like a lot. Much better than Gobert. It's ridiculous that he was Defensive Player of the Year. He can't guard a pick and roll. And then you put Ben Simmons, who I think is going to be another top 10 defender. You're going to win titles that way. That's the best way to win titles. 610-632-0975. Jordan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Tyrone?
What's up, Jordan?
Hey, how's it going, man? First, you know, you and the Trueness just have to compliment the work you guys are doing. It's amazing how much hard work you guys are putting in.
Thank you.
But, wanted to make a little draft point. You know, I tweeted out yesterday to you guys. Nobody really bid on it about the Michael Porter Jr. I thought that could have been the automatic fix to the scoring problems that we've had for the last 5 years.
You're talking about Kevin Porter Jr.
Kevin Porter, yeah.
They went 30th.
Exactly.
So you think that he would have been, now he has some off the field concerns, off the court concerns.
Yeah, don't they always, though? I mean,
no.
I always think Randy Moss when I hear that in my head. That's the first thing that pops in.
All right, you think Randy Moss, but I think some other guys like Richard Dumas or Vernon Maxwell. I think there's a lot of players that don't necessarily work out because of the off the court. It could go either way.
Now, if you check out the Rookie of the Year odds, it's a little interesting. He's at 33-1. I think he's like number 6 or number 7 favorite.
Okay, he's on a bad team, and he'll be able to take a lot of shots. That doesn't mean he's the best rookie. Michael Carter Williams won Rookie of the Year because he played a lot. Can he play?
Noted, good point. But then that's the second point, is the D'Angelo Russell rumors. Now, I think the fact that we didn't target him, and now I see in the Twitter sphere, you know, a lot of people saying that maybe the Sixers can get Russell instead of the Lakers getting him. What do you think about that?
I don't want him.
No?
Absolutely not.
No, why not?
Because I think he has a snitch DNA that I wouldn't want in my locker room.
All right.
Any man, I don't care that he was 19 when he did it, because I remember being 19, and I would have never done that. If that's in your DNA, that tells me you can't be a star on a team. You can play on a team. You can be an all-star. You won't win anything because your snitch DNA will come out when the times get tough. I don't want that guy in my locker room telling on Embiid, telling on the coach. I don't want anybody telling. I don't. I bet you he only reads tell-all books. I bet you he goes to the Police Touch Museum and tells on people. I bet you he walks around and is like and volunteers to tell the blind what's going on. He just tells too much. I don't want a guy who does too much telling in my locker room around me. He does too much telling. You're going to video and put out talking to your man about what he's doing, and you're going to put it out there. I don't believe that you can. I don't think that's a maturity issue. I think that's something wrong with how you were born. It's a birth defect, basically.
Being a snake?
Yeah, like, I think that's a birth defect.
Right.
And I don't want that around this harmonious situation of Joel Embiid brings a certain amount of harmony to a locker room because he's a pleasant guy.
Sure is.
And Ben Simmons says nothing, so he wouldn't be able to tell on Ben.
No.
Ben says nothing, so you don't worry about him snitching on Ben. But he'll snitch on people. I can't have that. Like when Amir Johnson brought his cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, after the game, D'Angelo, well, what happened was Amir got this, because the sick daughter, that would have went out the window dealing with D'Angelo. D'Angelo said, oh, yeah, there was this.
He's like, it was this actually. Shorty,
this girl coming in. He's going to see her on the road when he got up to Brooklyn. And he was saying he was trying to set up when he was going to meet her. So, you know, that's all it was.
I read the text messages.
Yeah, what you mean, D'Angelo? He never learned as a kid, like, don't tattletale. Like, he never heard that. He heard tattletale for the first time when he got to the NBA.
He was this kid in school. Are we getting homework tonight?
You forgot to give us
you
the
forgot
test.
To give us the test today.
I forgot to collect the homework.
Yeah, you forgot to collect the homework. Why should we have an extra day? I did mine. You guys should have done yours. No, D'Angelo. I don't want him around. For that reason, I do think there's something wrong. I can't get over that. And his apology was weak. His apology was weak. So I know he'll, like, point to his veins, but he should point to his mouth and go, no more. I was kind of covering my mouth and waving for the radio people. Like, because he talks to me. I can't have him. I can't have him around me. I wouldn't let him come to my barbecue.
He's not invited.
He would not be allowed to come to the barbecue. Because you start telling stories, you know he's going to repeat them.
He'd probably insult your food, too. Even if it was really good.
Yeah, he would. Can't, no, so no, I do not want him. That's a serious thing. No. He's not even a backup to the backup. I'd rather get two role players. They won D'Angelo if it came to that, because at least I know they won't snitch. Jay in the Northeast, you're on 97.5.
Tyrone, you're a great analyst. I love listening to you.
Well, thank you, Jay.
Well, you heard the good news. I was watching Pardon the Interruption, and Joel Embiid has lost a lot of weight, and he's in great shape.
Well, I saw him posting on social media. The good thing about that knee injury was they managed it, and credit to the Sixers medical staff that got him through the season. And he looks great, and now let's hope that now he can refine his game. But the important part is another offseason, knock on wood, with no surgery, and now he's able to just work on his game. You saw the jump last season. If he can make a similar jump, he'll be possibly an MVP next year.
Now, do you think Ben Simmons is going to work on his 15-foot jump shot this year?
I believe, I absolutely know he'll work on it. That doesn't mean I know he'll shoot it in a game. I know he has worked on it. I know for a fact. One thing I can say, and there's people out there, will he work? Ben Simmons works on his jump shot. I'll put my life on the line to tell you he absolutely works on it.
That's what I want to
I hear. Cannot, no, but, I cannot guarantee you he'll shoot it in the game, though.
Tyrone, just one Phillies question.
Yes.
Just give me a yes or no answer, no maybe. Do you think Bryce Harper is a phony?
No. I don't think he's a phony. I think he's underachieving. But he's not phony. I mean, I think that hustle, and I think he really loves baseball. I think baseball's probably all he knows. It's kind of like me with radio. I don't know what else I would do exactly if this didn't work out. I know what you said you were going to do. Yeah, I know what I would do. I'd be a painter. I'd work for that company that advertises
Nolan
for
Nolan Painting.
Yeah, I'd be a painter. They seem like they have a solid benefit package.
Yeah.
And they give you salary increases over time. I paint houses. Because I don't know how to do anything else. This is it.
Same.
So I think Bryce Harper only knows how to play baseball. I mean, you got a GED, went to school early, like the whole nine. Baseball's his entire life. So I don't think he's phony. What he is this season, he's not that good. So overhyped? Yes. So far, as a Philly, I am less than impressed. I tell you what, I've seen better right fielders for the Phillies. Like, right now, he's not even having an Abreu-level season. I hate to say it. But he's not a phony. Like, it's not his character, it's his performance. I have absolutely no problems with Bryce Harper other than the fact he hasn't played well. I don't know. I mean,
but speaking to our social media conversation,
yes,
people would, yesterday it sounded like you were making fun of people's moms almost, according to some people on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw
that. Like, the fact that you were slightly critical of Bryce Harper. You were getting bashed because you don't like Harper all the time.
I don't know why you're acting like a tough guy when Mike's not around. Like, first of all, I'm always the meanest person on the show, including when Mike's there. Like, I'm the meanest person on the show every day, but I guess, yesterday was a time where I was really mean. Like, I'm always the meanest person on the show. I'm the meanest person on any show I've ever been on. I'm not that nice. It's a character flaw. I wish I was nice. Every day I wake up and think I'm going to be like, hey, Jim, what's going on, Stevie? Oh, Karen, what the? Every day, and every day I come out the same. It always happens. But, yeah, yesterday was the day. And when all I said was through 45% of the season, and now 45 point whatever based on last night, I don't see a special player. I've yet to see a star. And when they signed him, I thought the Phillies were signing a star. He sells tickets, and that's great for the Phillies' money. Does me no good. In fact, it just makes the lines longer when I go to games. So he's made it harder for me to get a beer, or harder for me to get pizza, or harder when I can find a veggie burger. Because it's kind of far from where I sit on the third base side. It's a pain. But anyway, it makes the crab fry line longer. That's what it's done. But as far as ability playing, he's been mediocre.
Now you're trying to run him out of town already.
Yeah, because
I saw that on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, I'm running out of time. So far this season, he's been mediocre. He's a 240 hitter who doesn't hit home runs.
It's already the end of June. It's going to be the end of July before we know it.
Will he remain a 240 something hitter who doesn't hit home runs? If he is, that's what I call mediocre. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
Not some part of Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stevie Wonder as well. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. And now time to update our Twitter poll, and it's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, what's the update?
The update is we have over 1,600 votes on this one so far. What would you grade the Sixers draft? 6% say A, 28% say B, 38% say C, and 28% say D. So still majority going with a C for the Sixers in the draft.
And that's fine. Although every draft's like a C until you find out whether or not guys can play. And then it either drops, falls, or stays the same. They're all Cs. Really. The day after, because we haven't seen anybody. But if Thibault balls out, and just him, and it won't matter anything else. If Thibault plays, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. That's the other part about the draft that's different. You get your player, and you don't worry about anything else. When the Rockets take Olajuwon and win two titles, they can't worry about what Jordan did. They took the guy who they thought was the best player. He was a Hall of Fame player. He won two titles. It's a great pick. You can't worry about what the other person does. If Thibault plays well and the Sixers win a title and he's the eighth man in the rotation as a rookie, it's a great pick. If he turns into something more, which happens from time to time, it's an incredible pick. That's what it is. You just worry about getting your guy. They made a trade up to get their guy. If he can play, it's good. If he can't, it's bad. And all the extra stuff to me doesn't matter. And the social media frenzy last night was unlike I'd ever seen. It was far worse than the Eagles draft, because the Eagles fans are coasting right now. They're coasting right now. You can do anything with them, and they're coasting. Other than the Folesians, they're just coasting along. Sixers fans are by far the most engaged in their team right now, much more than the Phillies, and the Phillies are in season. In fact, many Phillies fans are quitting, and that's troubling.
Yeah, I'm sensing that too.
Three bad weeks, really. Because on the 31st, they were in first place. It's now the 21st.
Yes.
Yeah, 3 weeks, and they've completely quit.
And here's the problem. If they go 7-3 in their next 10, they'll go, well, it was the Marlins and the Mets, so yeah. Who cares?
Right, well.
Because they lost in the big tests.
Yeah.
To the Braves and the Nationals.
Right, so a lot of their fans have checked out. The Sixers fans, I will give credit for engagement. They're blowing everybody away, and that includes the Eagles fans.
Oh,
right,
a million
now.
Percent.
They're by far the ones that are most... They're most responsive right now, so good for them in
very,
that way.
Very rabid.
Yeah, they're this team, a basketball title is starting to get to the point where for the Sixers fans, now there are the Flyers fans who hate the Sixers, but for Sixers fans, it's becoming now where a Sixers title, post-process and everything, will be even more satisfying for them than the Eagles Super Bowl was. That's how it's getting for those fans.
Well, I think it's just because it seems everybody's been so... invested in the journey down to like the minute details.
So if they don't get a title, it'll be just it will not be as large, but the elation level I think will be even greater. That's
right.
Where I'm at with these Sixers.
Because they've been living and dying by literally every single transaction.
It's wild. It's unlike anything I've seen. Scott in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Ty. How you doing, bro?
What's up?
I just want to talk to you about the draft for a minute. Don't you think the Sixers would have been better off to stand pat, taking Seibold to 24 and Carson Edwards at 33?
Why are you making a wild assumption? He would have been there at 24.
Well, Boston was threatening to take him because they already have three Seibolds on their team, so they weren't taking him.
Okay, so
Jaylen Brown.
So their starting point guard next year most likely is going to be who? Rozier, right?
Right.
He's a smaller guard, right?
Right.
Yet they still took Carson Edwards.
Okay, well, they need someone to come off the bench to maybe develop. And
also,
why are
you assuming that he wouldn't have been taken 21 or 22nd or 23rd? Why are you assuming that he was definitely going to be there at 24?
Well, that's what makes a good GM. I heard that the Sixers were the only team that had him in.
And perhaps... they gave a guarantee, and that's why he stopped working out. Why risk getting injured if I have a guaranteed selection from the Sixers?
Okay, and then another question. Why 33? Why not 34? And then they could have got Carson Edwards.
Because the Celtics wanted 33, and they wanted their guy.
Well, you see, that's why Danny Ainge is such a much better GM.
But they traded 34, so clearly they didn't want a guy at the top of the second round. Why? Well, I'll ask the GM why, but he didn't want a guy at the top of the second round.
Okay, and then another thing about Seibold. Now, he was Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-10 for two years, right?
He was the Defensive Player of the Year in the country as well.
Okay. Now, Washington does play mostly zone, right?
The first two years, he played man.
Okay, but the last 2 years, they played zone, right?
They match up zone, yes.
Okay, so there's a real big difference going from a zone to a man,
so
correct?
Did Aaron McKee and Eddie Jones learn how to play defense in the NBA after they played Temple's matchup zone?
Well, sure they did.
Oh, thanks. Sure they did. So that means that it's possible for a player to learn how to play good defense after playing in a matchup zone. It's not Syracuse's zone. But, you know, I kind of backed him in there. I had him.
You did.
I didn't expect to get him so easily. I thought he was going to give me more pushback. But I got him. And listen, that question's fine, but I'm not just going to decide, oh, everybody who's evaluated him. And it's not like just the Sixers said that. Every single person that evaluated him said he is the most NBA-ready defender in the draft. Everybody could be wrong, but everyone said that. And now to think... oh, well, none of those people knew he was playing zone. When they were all saying that, they all thought he was playing man. They hadn't actually watched him play basketball before, and they just made that decision. I do think the guy can defend. I have no reason to believe that he can't. And I'm not going to worry about the fact that he played zone because it wasn't a straight. They played a lot of matchup zone, which isn't. And they also say he's a great off the ball defender. And in the NBA, that's the harder part to learn.
Also, what was one of the biggest problems for the Sixers last season? Perimeter defense.
On guards. So when Kemba scores 60, maybe Thibault guards him for a few minutes. And instead of getting 60, he only gets 50. And you win that game comfortably, even though they still won the game when he had 60. But you win it by more. So I have no reason to believe that the guy can't defend. If you want to knock the shooting, you got something there. But the defense, I think he can play. V, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Tyrone?
What's up, V?
One thing about the draft, I'm not bad with the pick, but when I see him, I do see another. He reminds me of Roberson from OKC who can't score a lick in the league.
Okay.
So I'm not saying
there are people who say that. I mean, what does Roberson shoot from the foul line, though?
Horrible. He's not a great free throw shooter either.
Thibault shoots like over 80% from the foul line. So he's not Roberson.
Because we needed a defender. But I would have been happy if they went with these two players.
Okay.
One was Lewis Cage out of Oregon. He's about 6'9", can play the 2 and 3, can come off the bench, score the ball for us. We need that. He gives us size, and he can play D. Another one was Naz Reid from LSU.
No, he didn't get drafted. He didn't get drafted.
Nah, neither one of them got drafted, but the most part was off-the-court issues like with Kevin Porter Jr., but theirs was a little bit more. But I feel as though in a good system they could produce, especially Lewis King, who was at the beginning of the season was about a top-10 pick, and Naz Reid was projected to be a top-5 pick. So they got the talent. It just was about molding them.
Naz Reid only did six reps at the combine.
Yeah, but what did KD do? I'm not comparing them, but.
Whoa.
I'm not comparing them.
You are comparing them. You're saying you're not comparing them while comparing them, V.
I'm saying you can't put too much in that combine.
Okay, this is what I can put in. Naz Reid didn't lead the nation in scoring. Kevin Durant led the nation in scoring, wasn't strong enough, and that's why he came into the league and he wasn't strong enough. The other guy is a center who's not strong enough, who won't play at all probably early on any good team because he's not strong enough. And the Sixers do not need necessarily a center who's not even. We saw bad centers with the Sixers last year. You want to add another center you can't play? The next time the Sixers add a center to this team, I want it to be a center who can actually play 10 minutes because had we had a center this year who could play 10 minutes, there might have been a title. So I can't with another center who can't play 10 minutes for this team. I can't. Other teams can. Go develop a guy. I want the Sixers, the next center that they bring in, to be a guy that says he's going to play 10 minutes a game for us in the playoffs so Embiid can play 38 and the Sixers can win a title. I don't want a guy who did 6 reps at the combine and can't do post defense because he's too weak. I can't have and getting dunked on and the whole defense falls apart and we get a whole repeat. I'd rather have Boban back than that. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll dig in a little bit more to social media angle. Is it a positive? Is it a negative? Is it a negative? And at 4 o'clock, we have a big double play. Sixers GM Elton Brand and Brian Westbrook in his usual spot. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. Been taking your calls about the draft, obviously. Is social media net positive or negative? We'll have Elton Brand on. 4 o'clock, B West from 4 to 5. Yesterday we did our Philadelphia area draft. And we're about to have a little contest the rest of the show. Off of that. Now, the final pick for the winning side, which was myself, Natalie, Andrew, was Kevin Bacon. And then the movie Footloose, which I don't care for, came up. So now this is how you will win a pair of FanFest tickets. Actually, this is how you will win 4 FanFest tickets. In addition to your sports point, if you can call in and give a summary, not a read summary. You had to have seen this movie. of the movie Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, you will win FanFest tickets. Because Footloose was a reaction to Breaking, and then Breaking 2, because Breaking made way more money than people thought, because they thought it would make no money. Breaking 2 is a superior film. So if you could give a short summary of said film, you'll win 4 FanFest tickets. That will go to the rest of the show. If we get a winner there, then Natalie and Andrew are going to pick a movie, and then that'll be your chance to win FanFest tickets, because I'm in a giving mood on a Friday.
That's nice of you.
There you go. Lyle in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's up, Lyle?
First time caller. I'm really enjoying your work.
Thank you.
And Natalie, if you don't mind me saying, with all due respect, in a world full of beautiful women, you are uncommonly so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I have a question. I probably know the answer to it, but I was hoping you can confirm it or challenge it. It seems that the advantage of re-signing your own player allows a team in the NBA to give a fifth year, and while people
think and
that
more money.
Yeah, right. So, you know, but, you know, sometimes a player, you know, I can't imagine a player very often just dismissing that. So it gives a tremendous home field advantage to the player, unless the player just really wants to get out of there. But let's take the example with Leonard. Couldn't a team, say the Sixers, hopefully speaking, couldn't they sign a one-year contract at the max amount with a player option for a full five-year contract, because they would then be the incumbent team the next year, as opposed to a one-year contract where the player would be really risking himself?
What you do is, in that situation, Durant and everybody else, people that change teams, they do a 1+1. So it's a one-year deal with a one-year player option. Then after that 1 year, you can offer the 5 years. And if the guy gets hurt, they can opt into that year. That's what it is. The players do it for their protection. You can't do a one-year deal with 4 option years.
Right. Because I was thinking, in that case, a team like Toronto this year could really have offered Leonard, I guess.
Well, he wasn't a free agent. He was traded there.
Right. But now this year, he's theirs.
Yeah. You know, he's theirs. Yeah. So they can offer him. They're going to offer him the full max, but if he says he wants a 1+1, they're going to take it.
Yeah. Okay. So it'd be a little disappointing to hear that, because I thought that would give a competitive advantage to the Sixers. But
I mean, they have the advantage in that they can give the extra year and they can give the extra money. They absolutely can. But other teams, we've seen it's been mixed. Paul George, it really mattered. With other players, it doesn't matter. So it's been hit or miss with that. Hopefully it hits for the Sixers. But it's gone both ways. When the money gets so astronomical, then there's people who are like, I want to live in a city that's nice, or I want to be in this situation. So every player is different. There is no true way to measure that. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty.
What's up, man?
Andrew, my man, Andrew. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Yesterday, Ty, I got to tell you real quick, you were stressing the Roots and Kevin Bacon, and nobody saying smoking Joe Frazier was stressing me out on my route.
Well, man, the draft board fell where the draft board fell.
Yeah,
we got in the war room and stayed true to our board.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I Ben Franklin, Will, for me, Joe Frazier's number 3.
Well,
but
I mean, okay. Well,
everybody's got their opinion. You guys do a great show.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say, Ty, is that since Brett Brown got here, when he talked about the Sixers' identity, he wanted to play great defense and create pace.
Yep.
That's what I heard all the time.
That's what he wants.
Other than Jahlil Okafor, that's what the Sixers' draft has always reflected, I think, right?
For the most part, yeah. For the most part, that's what it's about.
I trust Elton. I believe what he said. I believe that we will, in the end, it will make sense. And, you know, I liked what they did.
I like what they did overall. I would have kept either 33 or 34 personally, but I understand where he's coming from, and I'm going to ask him about it. And as long as he has a plan, I'm going to trust him until he gives me a reason not to. That's where I'm at. I think he's earned that much, because I think the Jimmy Butler trade and Tobias trades were positives. People out there who don't like those trades probably look at them differently. 610-632-0975. On the other side, big 4 o'clock hour, as big as it gets. Sixers GM, Elton Brand next, and Brian Westbrook for the entire 4 o'clock hour. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.